You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we're trying to help young men grow and mature in their faith with the Lord. That's right. We want to help you guys grow. If you're part of Generation Z, this podcast is for you. If you're a young man, I'm talking to you today. And we are doing a part three on what it means to abide in Christ. We've been having a great time in John chapter 15, where Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, Gen Z, young man, if you've been in the church for any amount of time, hopefully this is a very familiar passage for you. And we've been explaining over the last couple of weeks here what this really means and what this looks like. I mean, think about what Jesus is saying here to a primarily Jewish audience. He says, I am the true vine, which means, I told you in part one, the original vine was Israel. And we looked at a passage from Isaiah chapter 5 that talked about how God built a vineyard and he tilled the soil, did everything that he could to promote the health of the vine, and yet the vine bore only wild grapes. And so that vineyard was destroyed. And so the original vine, Israel, never did what it was that God called them to do. And so Jesus is juxtaposing himself with that comparison of the original vine, and he's saying, I am the true vine. So again, the original vine is Israel, but the true vine is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the seventh of those I am statements in the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And so here in the seventh one, he says, I am the true vine. He's not a fake vine. He's not a phony vine. This I am statement reminds us that Jesus is God. He's God in the flesh. This is, again, a play on words from Exodus chapter 3, where Moses saw the burning bush, and he said, whom shall I tell them has sent me? And God said, tell them, I am that I am. So when Jesus says this here in John 15, all of that's in the background. All of that is in our understanding of what makes this passage so strong, so beautiful, so incredible. And so the original vine was Israel. They failed to live up to their part. The true vine is the Lord Jesus. And then the end of verse 1 says, and my Father is the vine dresser. So it's the vine dresser, again, who takes care of the vine and cultivates the vine and protects the vine from people who come to try to steal its fruit. We're the branches, right? If Jesus is the vine, if the Father is the vine dresser, that means you and I are the branches. And there's really two types of branches that Jesus talks about in this passage. First is the branch that bears no fruit. And in verse 2, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So the first thing that happens is if that branch is not bearing fruit, then Jesus is saying, even though it looks like it's in me, it's not really in me, right? This is different than being in Christ, like what Paul talks about. When Jesus says in me, I think he's just talking about a very loose association. He's talking about what some people call the visible church. On the outside, they look good. On the outside, they're a church member. On the outside, they've been baptized. They take communion. They do all the church stuff. And so it looks like they're in me. But the real telltale sign is it says, but if it doesn't bear fruit, he takes it away. So that's what happens if a branch is not really bearing fruit, they get taken away. This means they don't have the internal flow. They don't have the sap of the sanctifying grace of God flowing in and through their life. And so let me ask you, young man, you got to evaluate yourself here to say, hey, am I truly born again? Have I truly been regenerated? Am I bearing fruit? Again, I'm not just talking about you're a conservative person who votes conservatively and you make the right decisions and you've got a good job and you do all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about, have you been born again? Because Jesus says that every branch in me If it doesn't bear fruit, then you're not a true disciple. And if that branch doesn't really bear fruit, verse 6 tells us what happens. It says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire. That's the ultimate ending for the branch that doesn't bear fruit. This branch is thrown into the fire. This is clearly talking about that branch will be taken away, it will be cut off, and it will be thrown away, and it's going to wither and die, and then they're going to be gathered with all the other dead and dried out branches, and they will be thrown into the fire, and they will be burned. Again, this is a very similar end to what happens in the wheat and the tares parable. The good seed, again, thrown into the field, and then the weeds are also sown into the field, and then they're gathered up, the weeds, at the end of the age, and they're thrown away, and they're gathered up, and they're thrown into the fire. Again, hell, it's a real place. It's a fiery furnace where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this is no joke here. Listen up, young man. If you're here today and you're listening to this, make sure that you're the right kind of branch, because there's two kind of branches. The first, a kind of branch that does not bear fruit. And then I want to spend the rest of our time in this show talking about the branch that does bear fruit. And the first aspect we see about the fruit-bearing branches is that this branch needs to be pruned. That may not be the first thing that you're thinking of, but in verse 2, it says that every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now again, the branches that don't bear fruit, they're thrown away, but the ones who remain in Christ, they're abiding in Christ, they need to be pruned. That word means to remove the superficial growth from a plant. It means to cut back productive branches so that they can produce better. And if the branches of a grapevine are not pruned every year, they will grow long and leafy. They will be filled with foliage, but they will not have much fruit. Again, they'll look good on the outside, but they got to be pruned in order to really produce the kind of fruit that God wants them to produce. I mean, if the goal is to bear fruit, then you need to cut away some of that extra foliage. You know, we want all the juice again to flow into the fruit, not just into the stems and the leaves. And so we're talking about pruning that grapevine. Man, when I was a kid growing up, my dad had a grapevine in our backyard next to our garden. And every February during the middle of winter, my dad would say, hey, it's time to prune the grapevine. I always hated it, but man, I knew that we needed to do that in order to cut away all the extra long, tangly vines so that when spring came around just a month or so later, that it can just grow out new branches with new fruit. And so this is one of the ways that God helps us bear more fruit. He prunes us through trials. He brings trials into our lives. I mean, listen to what 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says. It says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the testing genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, you see, God says that trials that we have and that when we're tested by these trials, they show the genuineness of our faith. I mean, if we do have true faith, we don't get crumbled by our trials, but the trials make us stronger. Our faith proves to be of greater worth than pure gold. And so trials are used by God to refine us in the fire and to remove the dross and to remove the impurities and to remove the inconsistencies. So that's all that is left is really the praise and the glory and all honor to God. I mean, another passage that talks about trials would be Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. It says that we rejoice not only in that, our justification by faith, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Young man, do you want to grow today? Well, God's going to put you through the fire. and you are going to have trials. You're going to have relationship troubles, right? You're going to have trouble at school. You're going to have difficulty at work. You're going to have difficulty with your car. You're going to have difficulty with your emotions. Even though you're a guy, you're going to struggle at times. And the Bible tells us that we ought to learn to rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And so God teaches us through trials. Again, this is James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, whenever you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So this verse is telling us we're all lacking in something. We're lacking in steadfastness. We're lacking in being perfectly complete. And because we're lacking, God brings trials in our life. And not only does he bring and ordain trials in our life, he tells us that we're to count it all joy. This passage, again, is telling us that the test of our faith produces steadfastness, meaning that we have the capacity to hold on and to bear up and to face any difficulty. And when steadfastness has had its full effect and when it has its finished result, then you are made perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, don't go away, because when you come back, we're going to continue to talk about how you can abide in Christ and bear much fruit.
Back with more from Dr. Adam Tyson in just a moment here on The Way of Manhood. And young man, as he's been talking about being pruned to bear fruit, got to tell you about a resource available in the Fortis store right now. It's The Practice of Godliness by Dr. Jerry Bridges. Look, a lot of guys want to know what real spiritual growth looks like. This book will break it down for you, showing you exactly how to develop the kind of character that actually proves that you're connected to Christ. Not just external stuff, but real transformation through your devotion to God, through self-control, through genuine humility. It's The Practice of Godliness by Dr. Jerry Bridges. Again, available at fortisinstitute.org. And if you're thinking about college, if you're a high school senior, or maybe you're a little bit older thinking about going back to college, let me point out the Masters University. They've just opened a state-of-the-art mechanical engineering lab, but here's what makes TMU different. While you're learning cutting-edge skills, you're also being shaped into a man who bears fruit for the kingdom of God. With over 3,000 students and church ministry scholarships up to $20,000 per year, TMU is the place to become the man God is calling you to be. The Masters University. More information available right now at masters.edu/manhood. Listen, I know you're busy. I know you are, and you've got so much that comes at you from everybody, every digital angle, from streaming TV apps to new social media apps almost all the time. But listen, something that's going to help you grow in your faith daily, it's Fortis Plus. If you haven't downloaded Fortis Plus yet, or if you haven't visited fortisplus.org, I want to urge you to do that, because you're going to get exclusive weekly content from Dr. Tyson, and you're going to get daily content from our other fellows here at Fortis that talks about marriage, theology, current events, anything else that you could possibly think of, you're going to find it. And here's the best part, it's absolutely free of charge. Just head to fortisplus.org right now, or download the mobile app from your app store. But we can only create this kind of biblical content through the support of our gospel partners just like you. And so if you're faithfully giving to your local church and you're not dealing with any kind of unmanaged debt right now, then I want you to pray about what it would look like to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. But if you are having some trouble in those areas, focus your time there right now and then pray about joining us. All of the details available to you right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to our show as we're talking about abiding in Christ and bearing much fruit. And the first step that happens to the kind of branch that bears fruit, because you only have two kind of branches, the kind of branch that doesn't bear fruit, that one gets cut off and thrown into the fire, or you have the kind of branch that is bearing fruit, and this passage says that branch needs to be pruned. and it needs to be shaped and molded more and more into the image of Christ, because God wants you to bear more fruit, young man. He wants your faith to be stronger. He wants your fruit to be better. He wants the aroma of your faith to be more potent. He wants you to reflect Him, and so He continues to mold you and shape you into a reflection of the goodness of the vine. So branches that bear fruit, they're going to be pruned, but branches that bear fruit, they must also be continually abiding in the vine. And that's why Jesus says in verses 3-5 of John 15, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." I think these verses are just saying we got to continually abide. I mean, if Jesus had already taught about the fact that you are clean if you're in him, right? And Judas wasn't in him. So not every one of those disciples were really clean, but Jesus has been cleansing these disciples with the words of truth and his words of grace. Jesus is saying to his disciples here in John 15, you've got to abide in me. This is clear. Young man, this is a command. Abiding is not optional. Remember, if you're just loosely associated with the church, you're not yet really abiding in Christ. And so this is given in the imperative. I mean, conversion is not about a profession without a change in direction. The faith that saves you is the same faith that helps you walk by faith in your day-by-day obedience. And just like a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, neither can you if you do not abide in the vine. Remember, abiding means to remain. It means to continue. Basically, it means that every day you are looking to Jesus for your help and your hope. Are you doing that, young man? Are you every day looking to Jesus for your joy and your identity? Because if you look to the world, you're going to get crushed. And if you look to sports or money-making or dating status, you're just not going to always have the confidence that you need. But every day when you look to Jesus, then Jesus will give you power over sin. He'll keep you humble. He'll help you serve Him with a pure heart and a pure motive. Paul talks about the fruit of the gospel increasing in your life when you do this. He says it this way in Colossians 1:3, that the gospel which has come to you has indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. So the good news about this is that you're growing, you're increasing. The love that you have for God increases as you continue to abide in Christ. It's like you have that newfound faith that Colossians 1:21-23 says. It says, "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard." So again, that passage is saying, if you continue, right? Not good enough just to have one day in his courts, right? We're to dwell there. We're to live there. And so we're seeing from these verses in Colossians that when God reconciles you to himself through the sacrifice of his son on the cross, that you and I are to be holy and blameless before him. And the good news is that God changes our hearts and he changes our desires so that we can continue in the faith. I mean, it's not like you just start in the faith and then you quit, right? You don't start the season playing in your basketball team and then you quit. You know, a real man's going to finish what he started. He's going to finish the drill, whether that be a sport or a job or a commitment or a class. You don't start living for God and then stop. No, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And so this means that God's going to make you a better man, right? A better servant, a better witness, a better example, a better ambassador for Christ. And by the way, Jesus wants you, get this, he wants you to bear much fruit. I mean, it says again in verse 5 that he who bears remains in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. I mean, really, in the Christian economy of faith, there are no little vines with little branches bearing little fruit. No. As branches, we are all abiding in the same vine, which pours into us water and nutrients so that we can bear much fruit. And God is growing in you, young man, if you're in Christ today. He's growing in you today, vibrant, delicious, organic fruit. In Christ, there are no diseases, no aphids, and no blight. In Christ, there are no pests and no fruit-eating birds and no worms. Your fruit is genetically engineered by God. You have the pesticide of the Holy Spirit who gives you power over sin. You have the irrigation of the Word of God watering your soul every day. So the branches that bear fruit, they're abiding in the vine and they will be pruned and they will be continually abiding and they will also prove, a third characteristic of fruit-bearing branches is that they will prove to be faithful and fruitful. I mean, that's what they're proving here, faithfulness and fruitfulness. The last two verses of the passage, verses 7 and 8, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Well, here's an added blessing. You may not have ever seen this before because this passage is typically about bearing fruit, bearing fruit, bearing more fruit. And it should be, but it's also about your prayers being answered. And did you hear verse 7 says, if you abide in me, so it's us remaining in him, and I love this, and my words abide in you, so we're abiding in him, and Jesus, and the living word is also remaining in us, continuing in us, then it says, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So again, the Bible tells us regularly that we ought to ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And the only typical condition would be that you need to ask in obedience or in accordance with the Lord's will, right? We don't want to ask for things to happen that are outside of the Bible. We don't want to ask for things that would be somewhat outlandish and self-focused, but we want to ask for those things which would glorify God. And as you have the opportunity to abide in Christ, then you have the opportunity to keep asking for God to do incredible things in you, for God to give you victory over sin. Again, Jesus said it earlier in the previous chapter, John 14, 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And so again, he expects you to be abiding in him. He expects you to be asking for him to be glorified in you. And that's kind of what verse 8 gets at when Jesus says, by this, my Father will be glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. You got to bear much fruit, right? By saying that you believe, that's not enough, right? You got to show that you believe. And so in order to show that you got to believe, you got to obey and start bearing fruit. And this is what Jesus gets at even in Matthew 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So let me ask you again, can those around you see your good works? Is your light shining in your school, in your neighborhood, in your place of work? Are you shining for Christ in your church? You know, Philippians 1, 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the praise and glory of God. And the real fruit that we're talking about here is the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So let me ask you, young man, how are you doing? Are you just attached to the vine externally? Are you abiding in the vine with every fiber of your being? If you abide in Christ, you will bear much fruit. And so as we finish up this particular three-part series on abiding in Christ, let me ask you, why is it so important that we realize that Jesus is the true vine? You better be tapped into him and not grafted into some other vine. Or what is God's job as the divine vine dresser. Remember, he's the one doing the pruning. He's the one doing the tilling, the toilet, and the cultivating. And then why do fruit-bearing branches need to be pruned? And what does that look like in your life? It's only by abiding in Christ that you can truly be satisfied in him. Let me pray for you that God would do just that in your heart today. God, thank you for this passage. Thank you for the reminder that Jesus is our all in all. Help every young man listening to this show today to be reminded that it's when we abide in Christ that you abide in us, and then we shall bear much fruit. Would you do that in every heart and in every life today for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.